Today's sermon is called Eyes on the Road. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God, who reveals truths to our spirits and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was a warm spring day just a few days ago when my big dog Grace nudged my leg with her nose. And I was busy studying the text for my next sermon. And most of you know Grace, this big, fluffy, white Great Pyrenees, a dog bred for herding and watching sheep. Grace is a working dog. And working dogs, they don't play. They don't retrieve. They're mostly famous for just being. But we made a deal, she and I, when we first brought her home from the shelter, that I would faithfully agree to walk her if she faithfully agreed to nudge me 3 times a day. So I told her to wait just a minute as I was nudged and nudged. Well, eventually I put my stuff down and we went outside. Now, walking these days, it got a bit of a rebound during the pandemic, I think mostly because there was no place to go, as many businesses early on had shuttered. But as we return to our pre-pandemic routines, we're also very much returning to our pre-pandemic patterns. And this includes returning to various modes of transportation over walking. I don't know about you, but kids in my neighborhood, they don't walk anymore. They've got electric scooters, e-bikes, and ATVs. I wonder and worry that we are forgetting how to go for a walk. And I mean a real walk. Now, Grace and I will occasionally meet another dog being walked, and more often than not, the person has their eyes glued to their phone looking at who knows what, or they have a leash dangling from a pinky finger as the rest of their hands, eyes, and attention tweet or text. Walking for the sake of walking, I think that's just getting rarer and rarer. Just another thing to do while we're busy getting stuff done. And so it's good for us to remember that Jesus did a lot of walking in his lifetime. I think to the point where it could be considered a holy practice, if you think about it. He could have asked for the donkey way before Palm Sunday, and gone riding around Nazareth, Galilee, and the 35-mile radius around Jerusalem. Some folks might have even gone further. They might have even donated a nice horse in exchange for healing their child. But I like to think that Jesus preferred to feel the ground beneath his feet, even if it is rather dusty and one could get gravel in their sandals several times a day. But walking, I think, kept Jesus connected to God's holy creation. And it also kept him connected to everything around him, slowing his pace to notice the birds of the trees, the beasts of the field, the lepers at a distance, a blind man beside the road, a rich young man who had everything and yet had nothing. If Jesus had chosen to ride, I'm not sure he would have seen these things. Just like when we go on faster modes of transport, the world goes by way too fast for us to focus. Jesus would have been above it all. He would have been looking down at people rather than being with them if he'd had that colder donkey riding around. But Jesus slows us down. The walking Jesus enjoys each moment. And so Jesus slows us down, enjoying each moment of our journeys and seeking and seeing the holy moments and people around him. We always say we want to be more Christ-like, and yet we see this in the Gospels. We're much closer to the disciples and how they act, just like the ones last week on the road to Emmaus. They don't have cell phones to distract them from their walk, but they had a lot on their minds. Having seen Jesus arrested, tried, and crucified, they'd heard about an empty tomb. And we're not told why, but they decided to go away to another town, maybe just to think things through, to be somewhere away from the painful visual and verbal cues that today we would call PTSD. They just needed to get away, like so many of us do today when we're overwhelmed. And so they went for a walk. And this stranger comes and walks with them, and they tell him about Jesus' wonderful teaching and healing and his death and empty tomb. They don't even see that what they're bothered about is walking with them. Our cares get us so tunnel vision that we can't see the holy in our midst. We only see the problems and the busyness of our minds and troubles. We walk, but we don't see. We move forward, but we aren't looking at anything around us. Jesus reminds us that we're in charge of our journeys. Some of us are on journeys of pain, despair, confusion, joy, boredom, exploration, I don't know. But no matter what the subject of our journey, the Holy is still with us. Because God is bigger than where we think we're at. We just don't see it, that the Holy is still with us. And yet, God's acceptance and love it's always in the background, in disguise, in ourselves. But we're too busy to notice. It's disguised in us because we're too busy to notice. But God opens us up to these new things, these new ideas, these new ways of being and living. When we pay attention to God, only when we relax our minds are we ready to be amazed, just like when the disciples invited their stranger to dinner. It was in this familiar ritual of breaking bread that suddenly the Holy broke through, and they remembered how it felt to be in Jesus' presence. And that's when they saw him. Because seeing God is a heart thing, not a head thing. This being in presence of the Holy. It's funny like that, isn't it? Oh, only in remembering and recognizing the familiar are we sometimes open to new starts, new awarenesses, new beginnings in our journey. And instead of rushing into the all-new everything, Jesus slows us down. And instead of blur, the destination becomes less important than the encounters, the relationships along the way. If we think about it too hard, we realize that just as the Holy becomes apparent, it disappears. And we're left wondering, what just happened here? I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Sacred experiences are not meant to be possessed and captured so they can be proof of something beyond ourselves. Sacred encounters, they're here to give us a holy surprise, to remind us that we should keep our hearts and minds open to what comes our way, because we're always on the road to Emmaus. One day, Jesus is a homeless beggar, teaching us with the eyes and whisper of compassion. One day, he's a child teaching us patience. One day, Jesus is dying, giving us the opportunity to stop our lives for someone else who will one day be us. Or maybe the Holy is a bluebird on a warm spring day in a garden of daffodils and beautiful shrubs, just getting their buds. Maybe it's that breeze carrying the freshness of the sea air to remind us of the vastness of the seas and their inhabitants. Maybe Jesus comes in the form of someone who drives you crazy to remind us that we have more to learn in acceptance and forgiveness. There's a reason Congregationalists called their journey the Way. It's a daily path, winding and straight, narrow and wide, interspersed in disappointment with recognition of the Holy just when all seems lost. When we recognize the companions around us on the way, let us see them anew. Let us see them as the disciples did, a holy presence on the road. Thanks be to God. Amen.